Good evening. This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial from Bozeman, Montana. And this is the
Meditation to
Self-Realization Show with Jim. That's me.
And I'm Marion.
We have fun doing this show today. We're going to have a guest speaker, Amy Huggins. And we'll find out about her journey into seeking.
And the oneness movement.
And enlightenment.
And enlightenment. Okay, and before we introduce and get Amy aboard, we're going to do a slight pause and get ourselves centered and just connect with one another and our inner source, our heart. And so if you're able to close your eyes, please close your eyes.
And there's going to be some quiet space in between so you can gather your thoughts. There's no music in the background. So.
Or let your thoughts go.
You didn't lose the show. It's still running.
So with your eyes closed and your spine straight, take some deep breaths and make them slow, slow deep breaths. Inhale and feel your chest rise. And as you exhale, slowly feel your chest fall. Relax your jaw muscles. Relax your face. Relax your shoulders. And hold your attention for three breaths. Relax your mind. Let thoughts go. Just watch them and focus on your breath. Take a deep breath. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Okay, this is a good practice just to bring your attention to your breath and make sure you're getting in enough oxygen to oxygenate the body systems in your blood. So thank you for joining us in that way. All breathing together as one breath. All right. And now we have Amy Huggins with us today. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Marion. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Amy. How about telling us where you're from?
I live on an island in the Puget Sound called Vashon Island. So we're surrounded by the water of the Puget Sound. And it's a ferry ride either to the north towards Seattle and to the south to Tacoma, Washington.
Wonderful. Never been there, but it sounds lovely.
Do you ever see any of the orcas whales?
Absolutely, Jim.
Wow.
Gratefully, yes. Yeah. And there is a organization here called Sound Action Network. So I get texts when they are going by my water view. So I get to see them from my home.
Oh, that's great.
What a delight.
Yeah,
a blessing.
We spent about 2 years in Seattle, and our oldest son had a chance when he was going to school to go out, and they boated with the orcas whales as a field trip. But the reason I brought that up was if you were on last night, we're all in the same meditation group. And
yes,
last night was the community call, and they talked about we saw that clip from Prithiji about the orcas whales.
Yes, and the point that Prithiji made was there's only two species who live beyond reproductive age, human beings and orca whales. And then she went on to explain why orca whales as grandmothers are so important. And then on to really look at why human beings, even after we retire, to have a purpose in life from our connection.
And I think she really did say that the connection needs to come from the inner rather than the external world.
Absolutely, Marian. But, and for me too, I just have a lot of connection with Mother Nature. So for me, it's a little bit external and a little bit internal.
Well, I think the nature, the external in the nature element does bring us more internal, is my experience in nature.
But in tradition, a lot of traditionally, you know, the elders were used to be looked up to or gone to for a certain wisdom. Grandparents, elders in communities, Native American communities, mm-hmm. whatever, indigenous people. And I hope that doesn't get lost with this next generation coming through or the whatever. You know, I hope that stays to the forefront because, you know, sometimes it feels like there's a disconnect between
the young people and the elders.
And the elders.
Well, one of the important things that I've learned through being involved with Ekam and Oneness and all these wise teachings is the importance of that connection, that compassion that we can have for everyone in our family, children as well.
And
sorry, my dog. Barking. He wants to go outside because it's so beautiful.
Okay. Yeah, I thought maybe he had something to say on the show.
All right,
we all love dogs.
Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of dogs in Bozeman, so yeah. If you love your dog, let him loose.
It's because it's so gorgeous out. He's like, what are you doing inside, Mom?
Yeah, truly. Mm. He's cute.
Mm. Thank you.
So getting back to what we were talking about, passing on the wisdom, you know, over the years, you read articles about as we age, becoming mentors or finding somebody to mentor or just pass on to our grandchildren. Is there anything in particular in your life right now where you connect with a younger group of people in church or wherever, whatever you're local community?
I'm a yoga teacher, Jim. Mm. And I have younger people come to my class sometimes. I teach at 10:30 in the morning, though. So if they're in school, that doesn't really work in their schedules. But in the summertime, I've definitely had younger children there. And earlier, I've been teaching since 1999.
Wow.
So in the earlier part of my yoga career, I did teach through what's called our Student Link program here, which is homeschoolers.
Nice.
Then I had 15 students who were homeschooled in a yoga class, and they loved creating their own yoga poses.
Sure, that's beautiful. Yeah. And naming them. Mm-hmm.
And naming them. That was so fun. Oh, yes.
That's a beautiful way.
And do you get them to sing along with mantras or anything?
Well, I wasn't in Ekam at that point, so we weren't doing chanting or mantras back then, but it's really critical. You know, like one of the gifts of learning more about Krishnaji is that, you know, he was in the school that his father, Bhagavan, and mother, Amma, put together so that he could sort of be around his parents while he was in school. And then he had this experience when he was 11. Of getting this diksha, this blessing, this visualization and this connection with divine through the universe. And so this idea that all of us that are beyond 50 can't connect in with young people like he was young at even 11 and gift this forward. I think it's so important. So I have tried over the years since I taught in the Student Link program to work in even Vashon Island School District, because there's good studies showing that meditation actually improves test scores among students. So it's so important to have that kind of practice, like you just led us through, Marian, thank you, in the schools also, because it really makes a difference for nonviolence as well as performance on testing.
And that's a big issue, test scores, especially right now.
Well, especially with a lot of anxiety things.
Yes. So I do think that the school systems are getting better at that, at incorporating some quiet time or meditation. I spoke to one of our young people that came and stayed with us last summer, and he's a teacher now, and he said that they were going to spend a whole segment on teaching about meditation in the school that he's working in New Mexico. So I'm celebrating that. So Amy, I'm curious of when you started seeking and when you got involved with the oneness movement. What was your journey like?
Yeah, it's pretty much through Margaret Joy Weaver.
Okay.
You may know she's a dear friend of mine from the Kellogg Graduate School of Management at Northwestern University since 1981, 83. We've known each other a long, long time.
Yeah, that's great.
And my husband passed away in 2016 from Alzheimer's dementia. And Margaret knew Alan and came shortly after his passing also. And within that year, from 2016 to 17, she kept saying, Amy, you know, it would help your grieving, because I was really sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a big loss. You know, my whole future changed.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yes. So.
Even feel there's still some that moves you to this day.
The grief, you mean, Marian?
Yes, the grief.
Yes. I mean, the thing I learned also, it was a really good learning process for me. I had grieved before because my parents had passed and everything, but it was different losing my husband. And it was almost as if, sort of like when I was pregnant, it felt like my body would take over and just do what it wanted to do. That was a shocking realization for me at the time.
Yeah.
I thought I had control, you know, you think you do, but no. And it was kind of the same thing about grieving. It would just show up. All of a sudden I'd be crying and I had no way of kind of controlling that. It just happened. So anyway, my dear friend Margaret, you know, was there for me, and she kept saying over and over, if there's any way you could go to like a Source and Synchronicities weekend with me, or, you know, do something else with me or whatever, I think it'll help your grieving process. So finally I said yes. So that started the whole journey into this.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And did it assist you then in the grieving process, do you think?
I think it did, because as my sister said also, about, I don't know, maybe about a year into it, she had lost a son. And I think that's really hard whenever you lose a child before you pass as a parent. And she said, just give it a year, year and a half. And for her, something shifted at that point. So I was kind of hopeful that something would shift around then. And then with, you know, going with Margaret to a weekend of this Source and Synchronicity program through ECM, I think that helped also. So a couple things helped.
Wonderful. Well,
if you don't mind talking about it, just out of curiosity, as your husband was going through dementia and Alzheimer's, did you have some grieving going on as you watched his connection with you diminish?
Absolutely, Jim.
Yeah.
It's a super hard disease for the whole family, really, yeah, because you lose the loved one before they're physically gone.
Right. And my mom went through that, so it was hard when I'd go visit and watch it, you know, accelerate.
That's how I also got involved with Music Men's Minds, this nonprofit I mentioned before.
Yes.
What's that?
Yes, because if your mother ever sang, you know, or was in a choir or played the piano or was in a school band or anything, if you play some of that music or sing some of that music with her, she'll come right back. It's astonishing how effective music is.
Well, it's amazing because my dad passed on before her,
mm-hmm.
and she was full blown into the dementia Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with her, with my dad in hospice as he was taking his last breath. And up to then, she stopped playing piano. She used to be a mm-hmm. teacher, did recitals, beautiful. And when he took his last breath, I started singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And she picked up on,
that was their song together.
That was their song together. And she picked that up and both of us just sang that word for word. I mean, yeah, it's.
I would have been in a puddle of tears.
Oh, God.
It was very endearing, though. And she knew all the words.
All the words. It was incredible.
Yes.
All the words. In order.
Rainbow.
Exactly. It was so
it was beautiful.
Touching. So it's a good memory to hold.
But that was a good point to make, you know, if they've ever done anything like that.
So the wonderful thing also is that I'm involved with Rotary, which is an international service organization. And Music Men's Minds is what's called a resource partner of the Alzheimer's Dementia Rotary Action Group. And the Rotary Action Group is a group of Rotarian organizations around the world that work on Alzheimer's and dementia. And one of them is the Cure Alzheimer's Fund out of the Northeast. Mm-hmm. Amazingly, they're funds have gone primarily to Dr. Rudolf Tanzi. You could look him up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And he is doing research on why more women than men get Alzheimer's. Mm. Is it genetic? Is it a biomarker? Is it, you know, what is that?
Wow.
So and, for your mother's benefit.
Yeah. Is it, did he come up with some conclusions?
He's been working on it for a couple of years. And the problem, Marian, is that, as you know, we've been in a pandemic. So almost all resources that have been available have
traveled
towards COVID, not Alzheimer's study. So it's getting back on it. And I've gotten results of one research study based on NIH files that he got a hold of. But I think it's going to be another year or so before the answer is there, just because of everything that went into COVID.
Sure. Right. It's true.
So now you've been teaching yoga prior to getting into One in One Academy or ACOM.
Oh, yeah. Since 1999.
Mm-hmm. So when you were teaching yoga, what got you into yoga? Were you already seeking an alternative culture or spirituality? Or?
Alan and I and our daughter Lee moved to Vashon Island in 93. And both he and I had been in corporate. You know, I'd gone to, like I mentioned, the graduate school with my friend Margaret. And then I worked first for an advertising agency because I have an MBA in marketing. And then the headhunter called me and said, would you like to be on the client side? So I moved out to the American Dairy Association. And he was a microbiologist by training. PhD, microbiologist.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was working for the National Resource Dairy Council, which was affiliated with the American Dairy Association. So that's actually where we met.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got another job offer in 93 in the Pacific Northwest. So we moved. But the thing is, not only Margaret, but like all my friends from the graduate school and then my family, my parents were still in Illinois. So when we moved here, mm-hmm. it was super hard for me. I was lonely.
Yeah. In fact, you still have the Northwestern colors on.
Cool. Yeah. For about 3 years, I thought, what am I doing? you know, why are we living here? It was just really not great. And so a friend of mine said, you should get a massage, you know, really, Amy, just like, so I went to a masseuse and she said, have you ever tried yoga? And I was like, no. She said, that's a wonderful practice to help with stress. So I signed up for my first yoga class and started taking from this Julie James, who was this very strict Hatha yoga teacher. Some people referred her to like an army general. She was just really strict about the alignment principles and all those things. And I just kept saying, somebody told me that this was good for stress relief. You know? Any books I could read? And so she gave me all these books and I started reading those. And then she gave me some anatomy books and I read all those. And finally she just said, you should take a training. You're way too interested in this. So I did some research, and around Seattle, they were just starting to be trainings for yoga teachers. This is back in 98.
Yeah.
Right. And so I found one at the Yoga Tree in Fremont, and with Alan's blessing, signed up for a year of training. And then they had another 6 months afterwards. It was just weekends, like once a month for a year.
Okay.
And then they had a 6 month internship after that. And that's where I really learned more than anything I learned during the year of training, because Joe Leffingwell was my mentor, and what a gift of a teacher, you guys. She just had a hook on humor.
And there goes the stress.
It was such a blessing to train with somebody who had that ability to find humor in almost any circumstance. And I saw the power of yoga because she had a student named David who was physically deformed. He came every Monday night to that yoga class over those 6 months, and Joe would tease him and laugh with him and prop him with bricks and straps and everything else so he could do all these poses. And at the end of the 6 months, this guy was a whole different person. It was incredible. The physical and emotional change in that young man. And it just hooked me.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's beautiful, Amy. What a testimony of yoga.
Yeah.
And so was that your bridge into a more spiritual choice in life, do you think? Or was it really once your husband passed and Margaret Joy introduced you to Ekam and the oneness movement?
Because I had joined the Unitarian Fellowship that I was trying to take the Ekam circles to. So I was looking for it, Marianne, but I just didn't really find it until Margaret brought me into Ekam. It's, you know, most churches don't really talk about the divine being within us.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's God out there.
And I did we're both from Chicago, born and raised in Chicago. My dad used to take us to the Northwestern football and basketball games. But I started with Hatha yoga, and because I was doing a lot of office work and I just wasn't feeling physically good. But it was with Swami Rami out in Glenview, Illinois. He had a ashram out there. Mm. And so it was fortunate because he paired the yoga, the Hatha yoga, along with Hindu teachings.
And chanting.
Yep. So we did a lot of chanting. And
wonderful.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, Amy, were you done?
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm curious, what has the impact of the oneness movement and your involvement had on yourself and your relationships since you've been involved?
I'd say a couple things, Marianne. One of the enormous benefits of being a yoga teacher is that I was able to go back a decade after my first training and to do it again. And I already had an established yoga class by then. So I was able to take what I was learning during the second training at Seattle Yoga Arts and plug it into my class and see how it worked. And it's kind of the same thing with Ekam and the oneness. So before I began every class, it used to be centering. Okay. And now it's meditation at the beginning of class. So just yesterday, I did the compassion practice at the beginning of the class. And then it's a theme that I can weave through the entire class, the whole practice.
How beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So for me, it's almost as if this work feeds right into what I do professionally. Do you see?
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it just flows through you because you're connected. You are self-connected and divinely connected. And so that does create a giving and receiving and an impact mm-hmm. on those you're with.
And the other enormous gift is Alex Clark. So she was a member of this Unitarian Fellowship I mentioned to you before, but also just a friend. And then she did the Ekam Mitra training last fall. And then she went to Field of Awakening this spring. And since January 15th, she and I have co-led Ekam Circles. So I did it all since I got trained as a Mitra in spring 2020. Or in 2019, it's been a little while.
Yeah.
So I was doing them outside last summer, you know, or the summer before, the first year of COVID, outside. And then as it got colder, you know, a little bit inside. And then we were doing book readings of the Four Sacred Secrets, you know, and all those kinds of things. But I was always doing it on my own. And also because Elizabeth Schwerenka and Margaret Joy Weaver got into doing the Beautiful State course.
Okay.
Yeah. So they came to Vashon 5 times.
Wow.
So I coordinated all that, you know, finding the locations and then recruiting all the people to be there. So I did a lot of stuff, you uh-huh. know, over, pre-COVID and then during COVID too. But anyway, the lovely thing is that Alex and I now do it together.
And that
it's
is
so beautiful. Much more fun, like just like you and Jim, you know, to right. have somebody else to do it with.
Yes.
It really yes. make a difference. And then
does.
We talk about impact, and it's like I look at impact could be so detailed, like a like an impact device used for putting screws and bolts into something, an impact drill. And every time you touch that trigger, you're making an impact, whether it's on yourself or whoever you're with. It can happen that quick. And so it's beautiful. The more we do some of the rituals and connect with the teachings and the circles mm-hmm. and the meditations, mm-hmm. the more impact I'm noticing for myself, and then bringing it out in the world is like getting automatic. And that's pretty cool. So
pretty fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
So back to the young people, you know, this whole idea, like I'm enjoying doing it with Alex. You guys enjoy doing it together. Maybe these young people that are listening to this program on your radio station can find somebody to do this with, to meditate with, or to chant with, or to practice with. It really does help.
And there are places in Bozeman. Well, there's actually a yoga studio called Ekam.
Yeah, it is. They but do all types of yoga, so I want to connect with them.
Yeah. It's a pretty new, and then it wasn't available during COVID, but
COVID.
Yeah. So it's exciting to see mm-hmm. how there's a shift happening in the collective consciousness mm-hmm. with the more people that do meditations or connect with their inner source and their mm-hmm. spirituality, the more everyone is affected. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's so important right now with the fact that we have a war going on. So
absolutely. In Ukraine. Yeah. I think I mentioned during our morning meditation group once that I've been giving Vladimir Putin Diksha. Maybe you didn't hear it that day. I've been doing it for ever since the war started, every day.
Okay, maybe I do. Yeah, now I that think you that mentioned
really
yeah, nice. Now I think I did.
Yeah, so the sacred blessing.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. there's some reason that man is disconnected from humanity.
Yeah.
So I just have a lot of compassion and give him a sacred blessing to shift his brain into more intelligence.
Right, to open heart. the heart. Yeah, to open mm-hmm. the connection between the brain and the heart. Mm-hmm. Remember what that's called? We hear it every morning. But the pronunciation isn't so one that I can wrap my brain around right now. I have to see it in order to say it. But there is a lot of integration that goes on between the heart and the brain. And that's a beautiful blessing to give him.
The other thing that we've been talking about in our, just this last Monday in our Ekam Circle, it was on love in the family.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that came up with the two people from my community, from my yoga class that came to my home for it, was how, at least growing up in Illinois and these other two people where they grew up, nobody asked me about my feelings. Nobody asked them, you know, they were like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get going and just don't, right?
Deal with yeah. The one I heard all the time was, stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about.
Ooh.
That kept me stuck with my emotions stuck for a while.
I bet. You know, and it's so critical. That's the other huge benefit, I think, through all the wisdom teachings from Ekam is how much they make it absolutely clear to me that the emotions trigger the thoughts trigger the emotions. They're completely linked.
Exactly.
So it's so critical to know the emotions. And that's the beautiful thing about that serene mind practice. Only 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And immediately I'm connecting back in, not only to slowing my breath down, which helps with stress, but also tuning into that emotional body. It's so vital.
And then the other piece is just bringing your awareness to, first of all, your emotion or your feeling that's going on and that's alive in you at the present moment. And then the thought of, or checking in with yourself, is my consciousness about me or is it about connection? Is it focused?
It's also about, is it in the past or is it in the future?
Future, right. That's huge.
I wanted to talk about that because I've noticed for myself now, especially journaling, I'm going more back into the past and seeing where things came from, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, and then bringing those in and say, aha, so that emotion or that reaction or whatever it is coming from there. And then once I see it and feel it and then really feel it because of that past connection, I'm able to move forward and recognize it every time it pops up. So it happens faster and
Less frequently.
Well, you might not think so.
No, I didn't. I was agreeing it's less frequent.
Good. I'm making fun.
What a gift that would be, Marian and Jim, for younger people.
Yeah.
They could see their emotions and feel them right then, really honor it and feel it and accept it rather than push it away. I think I learned how to push it away when I was a teenager.
Exactly. So
yeah, even
earlier when we were talking about mentorship or, you know, elders and wisdom and all that, well, it would behoove younger people to just gain the wisdom from their elders in that manner, just recalling the past. And I've read a lot of articles about younger people that are doing journaling and and it's really made an impact on their lives. Because you really get to recognize that and then gain the wisdom. Oh, yeah, I didn't like my dad. If you just do it that way, you know, I didn't like my parents. They didn't like me. Well, then you haven't gained anything because there's always that why. What caused that? Maybe it was something that you have to go back to the grandparents with.
And that's the other thing. It's like these wisdom teachings, you know, I didn't ever think about that the emotions that I have came from my grandparents or my great grandparents, this epigenetics study, this scientific understanding of how all these things flow through generations is very, very valuable, I think.
Oh, yeah. And very profound because I look in the mirror sometimes and I see relatives, and it's both surprising and it's divine because most of them have passed. And so, you know, the ECHM circle where we do the final one where we connect with those that have passed, passed on. And, you know, it's just a fleeting moment, but I see it and there is a definite connection. And it's so valuable because then I almost feel like I've been visited or that there's a message for me, and it cues me in to listen more intently to my inner dialogue or to pay attention more to how I may be interacting. And it's hard to put words around, but there's a message there more often than not. And just feeling that connection is so beautiful because, for instance, I had an aunt that I didn't really care for because it just didn't, we didn't, she was one of those that, oh, stop that crying or I'll give you something to cry about. And so in lieu of that, I have made friends with her. She's passed many years ago, but from that connection, I've been able to appreciate who she is in a different manner, beyond her judgments, beyond her alcoholism, you know.
There was a reason she was that way.
Yeah, there was definitely a reason, and I can have compassion.
So, which is really interesting, because when we talk about mindsets, how we develop certain mindsets, and you start going back into your ancestors and where they came from, and then how one of the reasons I think that we don't recognize other cultures as being respective of other cultures and whatnot is because we don't understand their mindset. When you take the Middle East or even this war in Russia and Ukraine, we don't have a clue what those mindsets are. And yet, you know, we can say, oh, that guy's bad and that, this is why the war's going on or whatever. But the mindsets we develop from our ancestors is very important for us to understand that, and then we can appreciate somebody else's mindset, whatever culture they came from or race they came from, because now you know that, oh yeah, this is typically how, yeah, I can get in trouble for saying stuff like this now, but this is how Hispanics think. This is part of their old ancestorship. This is where they came from. You know, the
Polish,
the Polish, you know, I can
or
see
the Italians,
why,
or Afghanis, you look at or yeah. Ukrainians, or
the
all the above, right?
So, well, I'm really interested to know. You had mentioned about how the ECHM circles with Alex has really brought a different sense in your being of doing them. And I'm wondering what kind of difference do you see in the union of people or the experience with the people since there's two of you doing it? Is it a multiplied effect, would you say?
I don't know what I would call it multiplied. It's just richer.
Okay.
Yeah, it's deeper and richer, I think, than doing it on my own. Because, well, I think you both know also, and I have felt this too, that this work with ECHM creates a different kind of love and friendship
truly
than other relationships in life. And so it's just because doing it together with Alex also just really builds and deepens on that relationship that I have with her as a dear, dear friend.
Beautiful.
And I'm guessing that the others in your group or gathering can feel that and bask in it. Because I know I've been to some of your circles and they are powerful. And so I'm wondering, Amy, if you want to give a little slot to your time frame, because now that it's later, it's actually more doable for anyone in Montana that would join. You know what your
time is.
What
the you mean right now?
Yeah.
Give a plug.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on the ECHM website. That's ECHM USA and Canada. So you can look it up there. We sent it in to Donna Crawford, who's the power that be, a little bio about each of us and the time and day. So we do it every Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. PST, excuse me. And it lasts about an hour and 15 minutes. And it has a theme each week. So I mentioned already the theme this last Monday night was love in the family. And there are 8 of them all together, and then we start over. I mean, technically on that website that I mentioned, the ecumusaincanada.org, it says we're doing this through December 2022. So,
oh, good.
What's, like, yeah, what's on the agenda for this Monday?
Coming Monday. Jim, I'd have to look at the manual. Oh. I don't have that in my head. I'm sorry.
Well, we know it's going to be love.
It'll be something around love. Yes. Yeah. We know we had before that. We did health and vitality. One of the great things that we do also is that we send out a little email a couple of days before the circle reviewing the last week and all the practices from the last week. So it kind of builds the sadhana or the practices over time also, which is lovely.
So this would be the fourth week then that's coming up.
Yes.
Because that would be wealth and success.
Perfect. Because that's also one of the Ekam experiences.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I didn't realize they had a name.
They do. Well, in the Ekam experiences, there are, I think, 4 or 5 offerings of what the Dasas could share with the group that you bring together. And one of them is, of course, connecting with the divine.
Oh, sweet.
Another one is health and vitality. Oh, another one is wealth creation. They're similar to the Ekam circles, is what I'm saying. But there's only 5.
There's only 5, and it sounds like some of them.
Or 4, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's it's a limited number. And so when you would, like, if this works out with our church, you know, we would have a group of maybe 25, 30 people, young people, old people, all ages. And then we would tell them in advance, you know, the talk that we want or the teaching is about health and vitality.
Sweet. Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this has been a lovely interaction with you, Amy. It's so good to get to know you. We met Amy in Sun Valley, Idaho, at a Field of Awakening where Preetiji came from India and spent 4 days with us.
Mm-hmm. Last fall.
And that was all of our first Field of Awakening. It was the very first time it had ever been given in the United States or maybe the world.
Yeah, let's go. If you could just repeat that for everybody next Monday, if they want to go to your circle, because I got
to
say,
yeah, if you want to go to my circle next Monday, they would go. It's at 6:30 p.m. PST for about an hour and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Ekam Circle or Blessing Circle is another way to describe it. And it's on the Ekam USAandCanada.org website. That's EKAM, USAandCanada.org website. And or if you want, I could provide the Zoom information here, but I don't know.
I think that might be nice if someone's interested, then it would be a direct link, you know, for us older people that don't necessarily know maneuvering on the computer as well.
Well, the meeting ID, if you want to note this down, is 902-665-8798. And the passcode is HATHA.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga teacher has her HATHA passcode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really like that because it sounds, you know, you between you and Alex doing that and then you with the HATHA, there's a lot of support out there for people. And what I love about the Ekam experience is the nurturing of taking people from just starting out with meditation and processes and whatever, and nurturing them along the way towards this enlightenment.
Another beautiful way that Stella Laura came up with too. Did you hear about this birthday party idea?
No.
Well, I did. I mean, she had one. But she didn't tell us how it went.
Oh, it was wonderful. And she just offered for anybody who wants to hold a birthday party. So I think your listeners would want to know this. Mm-hmm. Anybody who would like to hold a birthday party on Zoom so that you could reach out to many of your far-flung friends.
Yeah.
And include a free meditation like Serene Mind or the Peace Meditation. That Stella or Alex or a number of the other Mitras would be willing to host. So I'm doing one at Stella's invitation on April 16th. It'll be my 65th birthday.
Oh, wonderful. So how do we get involved in that one then?
Well, you'll get an invitation. I haven't sent it out yet, Marian, okay. But it's coming out this weekend for the first notification, and it'll be at 1:30 Pacific time.
Okay.
On April 16th, Saturday.
Okay.
It lasts for 45 minutes and it includes music and a couple of meditations and celebration.
Oh, how wonderful. It sounds divine.
Yeah.
So, and fun. Mm-hmm. Fun to connect with good friends on your birthday.
Yes.
And so, how would people that would like to do this? They would just set up a Zoom or is Stella doing something in particular to,
So Stella decided with Mind that she has so much going on with her house sale and moving that she's not going to be involved in this one, which is fine. So Alex Clark is going to be my tech person.
Okay.
And Margaret Joy Weaver is going to be the other Mitra Dira who's involved in it with me. So I'll just be greeting all my friends that come and sharing with how this came all about with these meditations. And then we'll do the meditations. And I think Margaret will be a short introduction to Ekam. And then we have some great music. So that'll be fun also. And we'll just celebrate and party.
Oh, that'd be nice. Is so Maybe you could sweet. Even share your birthday cake recipe.
I'm not such a cake person, Jim. I'd rather have cookies than ice cream.
Well, or cookies, whatever.
Well, I love that. That I didn't realize that was happening, but I would definitely like to be included. I could be an AV person if you hear of anybody that wants to celebrate that way.
Yes,
and our listeners.
So I think it's a great idea that maybe your listeners would want to have a Zoom birthday party because you can reach so many more people that way.
Oh, yeah. And we all have friends all over the world.
Mm-hmm. And then also to include a couple of these free meditations so everybody can do them
together.
Anytime on their own because they're free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look who joined us.
Oh, hi.
Our cat, Sylvester, just joined the program here.
Hi, Sylvester.
Maybe heard your dog earlier.
Oh, yeah.
You really wanted to meet you, Amy. He heard
that. How old is Sylvester?
He's 2.5.
Oh, so he's a young kitty.
He's a young one, and he's a live wire. Well, Sylvester, you're looking for Amy's dog that you heard earlier, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been really nice. We're about out of time, and I think we just about filled up almost everything because I got a few commercials to run too.
And so it's been an absolute fun, enjoyable pleasure to be with you, Amy.
Thank today. You so much, Marian.
Well, thank you for all your input and enlightenment and news about the birthday party. That's exciting.
It is exciting. Mm-hmm. We hope to be able to attend yours.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so we will see you in the morning. And meanwhile, we're going to do a little song for our listeners.
Yeah, Andy.
Wonderful. Can I listen?
Sure.
Yeah.
May the long time sun shine upon you. All love surround you. And the pure light within you. Guide your way on. Guide your way on, guide your way on, Okay. Thank you all for joining us. And We will see you next week
on KGBM 95.9 on your dial from Bozeman, Montana.
As a child, on an average, we have smiled around 400 times a day. As an adult, we smile less than 15 times a day. What a loss. We have lost the art of smiling, laughing. But why? What science is showing us right now is the more we smile, the happier we become. Let us understand gravity here. In simple terms, gravity is the downward pull. If we look around us, what is defying gravity? If we look around, the trees are defying gravity. They are growing and they're surging into the skies. Young children and young adults are defying gravity. They are still growing. They are still alive. In our everyday experience of life, there is one place where we constantly give in to gravity. It is the downward tug or the downward pull of our lips. Let us now bring a conscious effort and smile. When we smile, we do not give in to gravity. When we smile, we are conquering the downward pull. And we need to smile more consciously and bring more life into our living. I always hear people saying this. I need a reason to smile. I need something funny happening around me for me to smile. But is it really true? A young person recently told me that smiling is not fashionable anymore. And even on social media posts, you don't see people smiling. But smile is a gift that nature has given to us. And as we smile, involving our lips, cheeks, and eyes, we release happy hormones, the serotonin and the endorphins, making us happier and making us healthier. Let us begin with this simple act of bringing a conscious smile onto your face. Let us take a few moments now and let us smile for no reason. Take 3 slow and deep breaths. Inhale and exhale. For the next 3 breaths, we will consciously smile as we exhale. Inhale. As you exhale, smile. Along with your lips, allow your cheeks to join the smile. Inhale. As you exhale, smile. Along with your lips and cheeks, let your eyes join the smile. I can assure you, you look far more beautiful smiling than if you did not. Inhale. As you exhale, say to yourself, I am at peace. Inhale. As you exhale, say to yourself, I am in joy. Inhale. As you exhale, say to yourself, I feel love within. To flower into a new consciousness, to wake up to the extraordinary potential of being human, is the ultimate destiny of every human being. Let us begin our evolution with a conscious smile.